This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And today we're going to talk about genetics and human behavior. How much of what we do is actually programmed in our genes? And what about the environment? Can the environment switch on and off our genes with time? And who are we anyway if a lot of our behavior is programmed by biology? With us today is Professor Bill Sullivan, professor of pharmacology and microbiology at Indiana University School of Medicine. And he's the author of an exciting new book, which is going to be coming out in the next few months. The book is called Pleased to Meet Me: How Genes, Germs, and the Environment Make Us Who We Are. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest bestseller is called The Future of Humanity, talking about our ultimate destiny, perhaps in outer space. And you can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter. We have 3 million followers on Facebook, and every week about 1 million people follow me on Twitter. So once again, today we're going to talk about biology, genes, human behavior, and how they affect things like alcoholism, obesity, depression, love. Is there a love potion? What do men want? What do women want? Anyway, we'll also talk about intelligence, violence, memory. The list goes on and on and on about how genetics may or may not influence human behavior, and a new field called epigenetics. You know, we used to think that genes were just turned on all the time. Now we realize that genes can be turned on and off, like a switch. And what helps to turn them on and off is environment. And so we now realize that we once thought that our genes were frozen in time, and now we realize that with epigenetics, environment can actually turn these genes on and off. And so it's much more complicated, the debate between nature and nurture. So once again, our special guest today is Professor Bill Sullivan of Indiana University School of Medicine, and the book is called Pleased to Meet Me: How Genes, Germs, and the Environment Make Us Who We Are. So, Bill, tell us a little bit about your youth. When you were a young kid, what steered you in the direction of science?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's a real pleasure to be here. I got interested in science as long as I can remember. I've always been a fan of National Geographic, so it's a delight that I'm writing a book for them now, and other magazines like Discover and Scientific American. I couldn't wait to go to the library, which is what we had to do when I was young, to get our hands on those and read them. And I've always been fascinated about what makes things tick. Now, when I was little, it was always about mechanical things. But as I got older, I became more fascinated with the machine that is us, you know, what makes ourselves tick.
Okay, and then what steered you in the direction of pharmacology, microbiology, and then learning about human behavior, which is usually left to theologians, priests, and psychologists?
Yeah, that's right. We're getting into some other people's territory. But science has made some really great inroads in those disciplines, and that's why I'm so excited to tell people about the book. I would have to say early on it was this love of science and my parents encouraging me to go in that direction. And the first thing that I wanted to do was to become a physician. I wanted to become a doctor. But I soon realized in college that I really did not enjoy the sight of blood, organs, and guts and all that stuff. So I switched and went to the bench where I could work with a bunch of clear liquids, DNA, RNA, proteins, and things like that, and understand the molecular biology underlying everything. And what really
I agree with you. When I was a kid, I couldn't understand the sight of blood, so I became a physicist instead of a physician. Okay, well, let's just jump right into the substance of your book, Pleased to Meet Me, How Genes, Germs, and the Environment Make Us Who We Are. You talk about literally hundreds of aspects of human behavior, but let's start with some simple ones, like, for example, alcoholism. Are we genetically programmed to be alcoholics, and why?
Fascinating question. I've always wondered, you know, I don't struggle with addiction, so it's always been a mystery to me why some people do. And no one wants to do that. No one wants to have that lifestyle. So I was really befuddled. And then it turns out I'm not alone in wondering why. A group of scientists back in 2010 went after Ozzy Osbourne and asked if they could sequence his genome. So this hard rock star is notorious for his partying lifestyle and his addiction to all sorts of different substances. So they sequenced his genome and lo and behold found some very interesting genetic variants that no other people have that may explain his predisposition for alcoholism.
And what about science that have analyzed different nations? Like the Irish people are legendary for being alcoholics, but is that really a slanderous stereotype? Or is there some truth?
That's a good question. I have not looked into ethical ethnicity and differences of that sort. I'm not sure if there's any studies that have been done in those regards. But what we have the power to do now, it's fascinating. We can sequence a human genome for just a couple of $1,000s, and we can do it in more or less a week, and just do this for millions of people, and then compare those who are addicted to substances with the control group, those who are not addicted to substances, and find which genetic variants occur between those two populations. And they usually point us towards alcohol dehydrogenases, which is the ability to break alcohol down. And they also point us towards various neurochemical receptors in the brain that can dictate impulsivity or risk-taking behaviors.
So, are some people genetically predisposed to become alcoholics while other people can drink and not be addicted? Is there any biological link there?
Yes, I would say the answer to that is yes. And the reason, what we have to keep in mind is that in terms of drug use, including alcohol, is most people try these substances, but only a fraction of them become addicted. I'm not trying to downplay the severity. It is a very severe condition if you are in that minor population. So that's what we're going after, what genes cluster in those who can't say no to the substance.
Okay, now let's talk about a big one, obesity and hunger. Some people say that, well, I mean, it's not their fault. They just can't stop eating. Other people say it is their fault. And we see all these advertisements on TV about getting fatter. It's a national crisis. We are, in some areas, the lifespan is actually decreasing rather than increasing because of death related to obesity. So what about obesity and genetics and epigenetics?
Yeah, this is a very timely question and very important one because we are facing an obesity epidemic and it's hitting our children especially hard. So it's not going to go away anytime soon. We need to figure out the biological basis for this. The common sense intuitive thing is to just point to our lifestyles. High salt, fat, sugary foods complex with a sedentary lifestyle certainly are ingredients that facilitate obesity. But some people can live that lifestyle.
Okay, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of a new book coming out in a few months called Please to Meet Me by Bill Sullivan. And if you want to be on Science Fantastic, then give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or the internet site, and your city, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So stay tuned as we talk about Please to Meet Me.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic. This is Professor Michio Kaku, Professor of Theoretical Physics at the City College and the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. With us today is Professor Bill Sullivan, Professor of Pharmacology and Microbiology at Indiana University School of Medicine. And we're talking about human behavior and genetics. What is programmed in our genes and what is simply hearsay? The book is called Please to Meet Me, How Genes, Germs, and the Environment Make Us Who We Are. And we're privileged to get a sneak preview of this book, which won't be out for a few more months. Well, let's now talk about the big one, something that causes controversy everywhere you look, and that is the question of love? Are we programmed to love certain people? Is there a love potion? What do men want? What do women want anyway? So let's start with a very simple question. If you were Charles Darwin, looking at the evolution of men and women, and then the question arises, what do men want in women, and what do women want in men, and what is simply a stereotype that has no basis in reality? What does something called evolutionary psychology teach us about love?
Right, so this is a very controversial subject, and harks back to the echoes that our evolution may have had. All of us are programmed deep within our being to survive and reproduce. Those are the main driving factors of our species. And although we don't emulate those behaviors consciously, they always seem to be an undercurrent in everything we do, and it dictates a lot about mating choice. So evolutionary psychologists would argue that men seek younger, fertile women in order to maximize the viability of their offspring, whereas women would seek men who have acquired resources that would be able to take care of her offspring.
Okay, and how does that affect what we consider to be attractive?
That harks back to our pathogens. So this gets back into my microbial side. And basically, we view people who are unblemished as being healthy and therefore will be a more viable mate and produce offspring that are also going to be healthy, because pathogens tend to leave some kind of scarring or disfigurement, and we have been programmed by evolution to view that as unattractive. Another important reason for this is Darwin's concept of sexual selection. For one reason or another, we develop certain traits that become sexually arousing, and those get propagated and passed on through our offspring. So it's in our best interest to find the most attractive mate possible so that our children will therefore be attractive and continue the trend.
So in other words, if a man likes a woman with an hourglass figure, or a woman likes a man who is just filthy rich, part of it is due to the fact that we want to make sure that our progeny propagate into the next generation. Is that what you're saying?
That is what evolutionary psychologists are saying, yes. That is their argument.
Okay, now we had one guest on Science Fantastic who even said that beauty itself can be looked at evolutionarily speaking. That is, in cultures, if men like women with big eyes, small chin, large lips, it's because those are estrogen markers. Estrogen being the female hormone. When you talk to a woman, you cannot do a blood test. You cannot find out her estrogen level at a party. But you do know how big her eyes are, how big her hourglass figure is. So has that theory basically held up, and can you test it?
Well, yeah, that's still a hotly debated issue as to whether we as humans emit pheromones. There are numerous examples in the animal kingdom where this certainly is true, and it heightens the senses that basically tell individuals in a population that they are ready for mating, okay, that they're fertile. Humans are very interesting, and we don't advertise our fertility in that manner. So there are thought to be other subconscious cues that may be relayed to one another that can influence our mating choice.
Okay, and when a woman sizes up a man, she realizes that she's stuck with a child for maybe 18 years if she makes a mistake, so she's more choosy. Is that correct, that women can afford to be more choosy because they're basically stuck with a child for 18 years or so, while a man can be more carefree about this?
Yes, this is what evolutionary psychologists argue as a trade-off in the different styles, the biological methodology between men and women. Men produce sperm, which are very cheap and easy to make, and they make them quickly. So they could theoretically have one child a day if they are lucky enough to find a wide variety of mates. Whereas a woman has to be much more choosy because she only has one precious egg a month. And then once that egg becomes fertilized, she's basically out of the mating game for a year, maybe longer. So those are some basic biological differences in our reproductive systems, which may also influence how we act. Evolutionary psychology would argue that men, therefore, are more promiscuous, and women are, therefore, more choosy.
Well, there was a movie once with Kevin Spacey where he was asked, what do women want anyway? And he said one word, success. That's what women want in a man. And what does a man want in a woman? Health. Healthy women with an hourglass figure. So what are your thoughts? Is that really true? Does evolutionary psychology have experiments that can verify that theory?
I think Kevin Spacey kind of nailed what evolutionary psychologists tend to argue. But this is the challenge, because it is extremely hard to test those sorts of theories. We can point to correlations that exist between cultures across the world and say it's pretty universal that all men, despite their culture, prefer an hourglass shape in a woman. But that doesn't necessarily provide proof that it has anything to do with attraction. Those are just correlations. So they're very hard questions to test. But yes, Kevin Spacey summed up the arguments nicely.
And there's even talk about a love potion. People have talked about a love potion for thousands of years, perhaps going way back even before the Egyptians. And there's a hormone called oxytocin. And in the animal kingdom, it seems to have rather magical properties with female animals and the nurturing instinct. Tell us a little bit about oxytocin.
Yes, this is all the rage these days. You can go online and buy oxytocin inhalers and sprays, and they market this as a way to forge bonding between individuals. And there is a kernel of science that supports that idea. If you, basically oxytocin, it does a number of things in the body, but as it pertains to our discussion here, it forges bonds between the mother and child, and it also forges bonds between the man and woman who have produced the child. So what's tricky about oxytocin, however, is that it can also, it's called the cuddle hormone, right, because of these bondings, but it can also encourage racism. It also encourages bonds between people who are more like you. So it's a very tricky hormone, and we have to be careful about how we ascribe, biological functions to these things.
Okay, now let's play devil's advocate. Let's say that all the previous discussion is a bunch of nonsense, that it supports stereotypes that are not true, that in the Me Too era, we have to watch out for retrograde, backward, regressive tendencies, and evolutionary psychology is basically the psychology of cavemen and cavewomen, not the ethics of the future. So what do you say to the critics of evolutionary psychology?
Well, the main thing we have to remember is just because something seems to have occurred in a certain way in our evolutionary past, in no way informs how we should behave today. So there are examples that you could point to, things we did in the past, that have absolutely no bearing on the lifestyle we live today. And we do have to be careful, because the stereotypes that that exist today could be influencing the theories that we're generating about the past. So there's a fine line we have to walk there. And without, tangible evidence that we can point to, these theories have to be taken with a grain of salt. So I would agree with the critics, actually.
Okay, well, some people say that, okay, maybe cavemen and cavewomen were subjected to these evolutionary pressures thousands of years ago. But how do you prove that? I mean, that was thousands of years ago. No one was there to make measurements of the cavemen and cavewomen. So how do we test these theories? Science is based on things that are testable, reproducible. Let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, let's give a few minutes to the critics of this who say that, well, you can't test any of these theories. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. We'll be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
President Trump tweeting Friday night that a deal has been signed with Mexico to avoid tariffs that were set to start Monday. The State Department will release the details of the agreement, but Mr. Trump announced Mexico has agreed to take strong measures to stem the tide of migration. The U.S. and Russian militaries have accused each other of unsafe actions after an American guided missile cruiser and a Russian destroyer nearly collided in the Philippine Sea. Former Navy Secretary Ray Mabus.
This could have been just catastrophic because you're going at high speeds. You've got an American ship that's trying to recover a helicopter. You've got a Russian ship that is going really fast, closing on the American ship, and people could have died.
In a video taken from the American ship obtained by CNN, the two ships come so close that Russian sailors can be seen appearing to sunbathe on the stern of their vessel. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Professor Bill Sullivan, author of an exciting new book, which will be hitting the stands in a few months. The book is called Please to Meet Me. That is, how much do we really know about who we are? How much of our behavior is determined by genetics or by epigenetics, that is, things that takes place in the environment that switch on and off our genes? With us today is Bill Sullivan, professor of pharmacology and microbiology at Indiana University School of Medicine. And so we are talking about human behavior. And so we laid out a theory of love, which says that men in the main, not always, but on average in the main, may seek out women who are pretty. And what is pretty? Women who are symmetrical, women who have childlike features, women that have hourglass figures because they are healthy and they can have children and propagate your genes. Well, women prefer men who are filthy rich, successful leaders of other men, because that helps to guarantee that their offspring will survive. And some people say, well, that's all well and good, but how do you test it? Now, some people say we can test it with college students. That is, psychology professors have a ready-made pool of eager college students, eager to get a good A in their course, and they submit themselves to all these experiments where we try to reproduce some of the conditions that may have existed thousands of years ago. So what are your thoughts about how we can perhaps test some of these theories?
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, that's a really hard endeavor. I applaud efforts to do so. And in addition to college students, which are really good human studies, we can also look at other primates and see how similar their preferences parallel what evolutionary theorists have proposed. But short of developing a time machine and going back to see how things actually were, I think we're going to all have to take those theories with a grain of salt. And I don't believe it would be wise to canvass all the different human societies and human species with a single assertion of this is probably how things were. There was probably a great variety, just as there is today, in the different ways that we are attracted to one another.
Okay, now let's talk about another hot-button issue, and that is the question of intelligence. First of all, I have yet to see any rigorous definition of intelligence, and yet a lot of people claim that IQ exams measure something. Who knows? Maybe IQ exams measure how well you do on IQ exams. Other people say that IQ exams are culturally biased. So what are your thoughts? Has science been able to understand what is intelligence?
We're getting there. Depending on the study that you read, there is a genetic component to intelligence, but you really hit the nail on the head. It's a poorly defined word. You know, there's a wide variety of different intelligence, everything from mathematical genius to comedy genius or radio personality genius. We have all these different types of intelligence. So it's really hard to design a test, much less find a certain gene that is going to augment this nebulous thing of intelligence.
Now, Professor Terman, I think it was at Stanford University, was the one who propelled IQ exams to the forefront of scientific research. But by following these people with high IQs over many decades, you find that, well, some of them won the Nobel Prize, but quite a few of them wound up as marginal people, petty criminals, people of no consequence. So let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, let's talk about whether or not we can really measure intelligence or whether it's all a bunch of baloney. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Bill Sullivan, Professor of Pharmacology and Microbiology at Indiana University School of Medicine. And he's the author of a forthcoming book, a great book. I highly recommend it. The book is called Pleased to Meet Me: How Genes, Germs, and the Environment Make Us Who We Are. You know, we think we know who we are. On the other hand, science tells us that, well, we are just beginning to understand how genetics and epigenetics, and microbes, in fact, can influence human behavior. And there are so many hot-button issues that depend on a resolution of this. So let's talk about intelligence. How reliable are IQ exams? Do you find any one exam or a series of exams that's reliable? And is it possible to increase your intelligence? Any thoughts?
Well, with regard to IQ tests and measuring intelligence, that's a real hot-button issue because we don't have a good definition of intelligence. And these things are fraught with confounding variables such as socioeconomic status and so on. There's also been studies that point to other behaviors lending themselves well to people who are more studious. For example, in the book, I describe the famous marshmallow test, where children are given a choice. They can have one marshmallow now, or they can wait 15 minutes, and they'll get two marshmallows. And most of the children eat that marshmallow right away. But the ones that can wait, that have the self-discipline, and can wait for the two marshmallows, tend to do much better in life when measured by a variety of parameters later on. So it may not be intelligence per se. It could just be certain behaviors like self-discipline that come into play here.
Now, the United States Air Force years ago did a study to find out which of their people can best escape if they were shot down over enemy territory in Vietnam. If you are captured by the Viet Cong, who has the best ability to come up with ideas to escape? And they found out that the traditional high IQ people did rather poorly. They were not imaginative, creative. They couldn't think of ways to escape. While people that were normally, we would consider marginal, were actually quite creative and quite ingenious and could devise all sorts of ways to escape from enemy territory. And here's a practical application of people who can see the future. That is, they can see past the appearance of today and look into the future of tomorrow, like in the marshmallow test, for example. Well, let's move on to yet another hot-button issue, perhaps one of the biggest hot-button issues of all, and that is violence. Are humans genetically programmed? Is there a gene that predisposes us to be violent, or is it all just environmental? I had one psychologist interviewed who said that the greatest correlation between violence and statistics are A, people who are male, B, fatherless, and C, not socialized. So if you want to know who's going to become a violent criminal, ask yourself not race, not income. No, ask yourself basically who's not socialized, who is fatherless, and so anyway, what are your thoughts about what do genetics say about violence?
Right. This has been a puzzle that geneticists have been fascinated with for quite some time. And there has been one gene in particular that has gotten the lion's share of press. It's even been dubbed the warrior gene, which sounds like some sort of Klingon geneticist named it. But this gene is encoding an enzyme called MAOA. It's a monoamine oxidase. And what it does is that it breaks down neurotransmitters in the brain, which is a very critical process to have the balance of chemistry in the brain correct. So in some people who are predisposed towards violent tendencies, they have a mutant version of this MAOA gene that leads to a buildup of neurotransmitters till they get to a toxic abnormal level, and this has been shown to lead to impulsivity and violent outbursts. The catch is, not everyone that has this mutation has violent tendencies, although there is a pretty strong correlation. It seems to be environmentally controlled as well. And you've mentioned the word epigenetics a number of times, so we haven't had a lot of chance to go into it. But this may be where epigenetics comes into play, because children with that mutation...
Okay, Bill, we have to take yet another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can ask your question on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And today we're talking to Professor Bill Sullivan, Professor of Pharmacology and Microbiology at Indiana University School of Medicine. And we're talking about one of the hottest areas in science, and that is the growing area of genetics and epigenetics as applied to not just medicine, but human behavior. Now, this is something that is quite controversial because, of course, some people think that there's a soul and there's a body and the two are separate. But other people say that, no, biology can affect our thinking, our attitudes, even who we love, who we make friends with, whether or not we're liberal or conservative. Perhaps there's some genetic and epigenetic environmental basis to some of these things. Who knows for sure? We talked about intelligence, we talked about love, we talked about violence, and now let's talk about yet another area, and that is memory. Is it possible that we can have a memory gene that'll accentuate and increase our memory? Or is memory just something you just have to learn or something you're born with? What are your thoughts?
Very good science has been coming out from memory, and it goes back to the epigenetics principle we talked about earlier on. So a lot of the genes that have been identified that seem to enhance or have something to do with memory capacity are actually epigenetic modifiers. And by that term, what we're referring to here are enzymes that can change chemically the proteins that interact with DNA and influence whether the gene comes on or off and how much of it is made. So a lot of memory is in fact linked to genetics and epigenetics.
Okay, well, yet another hot topic is political affiliation. Are we genetically or environmentally influenced by what we've just been talking about to become liberal or conservative? Some people say, no, it's a question of upbringing, it's a question of economics. Other people say, no, it's a question of what is right and what is wrong. But what are your thoughts about liberal versus conservative?
Yeah, this is a really timely question because we're so polarized in the country right now, and neither side can figure out what is wrong with the other side. So there actually have been some genetic examples that influence whether someone is more towards the right or left of the political spectrum. One gene in particular that comes up is called DRD4. This is a novelty-seeking gene, and it tends to be more present in liberals, people who are not afraid of change and who want to explore beyond the status quo. So there does seem to be a genetic component. There's also certain personality profiles that tend to align with whether someone is liberal or conservative. Those can be genetically produced, or they can be environmental as well. But another thing that comes up, structural differences in the brain. Conservatives tend to have enlarged areas where we consider the fear response of the brain. So that might explain why they are a little more resistant or hesitant to change.
Now, some people would say that, well, let's be devil's advocate and realize that there are other big factors, like young people tend to be more liberal. And as you get older, you become conservative. As one person pointed out to me, when you're young, your wallet is on your right side, left side of the body. But as you get older, your wallet changes to the right side of your body. Other people say, no. Liberals are people who are on the take. They're the ones who take money. They're the ones who don't produce. They are the ones who consume. Well, the ones who produce, who are responsible for money, who are the ones who write the paycheck, they are the ones who are conservative. So it has nothing to do with biology at all. It has to do with economics and how old you are. What are your thoughts?
Those are really interesting points. And again, this is where we can throw in another example of where epigenetics comes into play. Because obviously someone's genome did not change from when they were young and perhaps liberal, and then when they got older and became conservative. But what has changed is their environment, the experiences that they've been exposed to. And those environmental changes and experiences can actually change gene expression and can remodel some of those sections of the brain that I spoke about earlier. So that would be a possible explanation for why people may be able to change over time, and that's highly related to environment. Really glad you asked that question, because whenever we get into conversations that smack of genetic determinism, I think that's a really dangerous thing. We have to remember that the genome is very flexible. There's a lot of different yous within your genome. I use the analogy that the genes are like the piano keys, but the environment plays the song.
Okay, now evolution. The bottom line of evolution is that these genes have to make reproducibility more advantageous. That is, our children survive, and that propagates the genes. Now, if that's true, then the liberal versus conservative dichotomy has to have an evolutionary advantage, or else one of the genes would have disappeared a long time ago. So what is the evolutionary advantage of having genes that predispose us to be liberal or conservative?
I think you have to look at that answer from a population perspective. It's always advantageous for the group to have a mix of opinions and a mix of ideas of where to go. You want people who throw up caution, and you want people who are risk takers. Ideally, what should happen is that those individuals should talk to one another in very reasonable fashion, have a dialogue where we can truly assess the threat, the risk, and then decide whether to proceed and how far.
So in other words, you're saying that in a healthy, propagating, evolutionary, evolving society, it's good to have both liberals and conservatives. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, there are an endless number of topics that we haven't even touched yet. The book is called Pleased to Meet Me: Genes, Germs, and the Curious Forces That Make Us Who We Are. And the guest is Professor Bill Sullivan, Professor of Pharmacology and Microbiology at Indiana University School of Medicine. And you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile the cutting edge of science, and give us a call by calling 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.